Hey guys, welcome back to Defining Truth, episode 40. We have a very interesting talk today, the fight and the battleground for our schools. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in once again to Defining Truth, the podcast. We have a very special guest, a very interesting conversation today on the show. We have Jen Wiersma.
Gila Valley School District holding a special meeting tonight after being hit with a $1.5 million fine from Governor Gavin Newsom. It's all because the school board rejected a state-approved social studies book and other curriculum over concerns about sexualized topics. Jennifer Wiersma is one of the school board members who voted against the curriculum, and Jennifer joins us now. Thank you so much for being here. What is the issue with the curriculum being pushed by Gavin Newsom?
Good morning, Todd. Well, let me first say that I represent just one perspective of the board, but thousands of constituents that elected me to protect their children and curate curriculum. So with this fine, it is definitely an egregious overreach. It's outside his jurisdiction and his purview as governor, and the voters feel like they are being attacked.
So Governor Newsom says the following about you. The three political activists on the school board, basically naming you, have yet again proven they are more interested in breaking the law than doing their jobs of educating students, so the state will do their job for them. After we deliver the textbooks into the hands of students and their parents, the state will deliver the bill, along with a $1.5 million fine to the school board for its decision to willfully violate the law, subvert the will of the parents, and force children to use an out-of-print textbook from 17 years ago. Your response?
He is speaking out of turn. Local control is everything, and we are still on a trajectory to make that decision.
So a quick background, if you're not familiar with Jen Wiersma, she's been married for over 25 years. She's a mom of three young adults who all have attended Temecula Valley Unified School District. Jen and her family have lived in Temecula for about 17 plus years or so. She recovered from cancer, which is incredible, determined to live joyfully. She loves hitting the beach, line dancing, serving in her church, and as of recently, battling for the freedom of your children on a local school board. She believes in goodness of faith, family, and freedom, and she's honored to serve as an advocate for parental rights while prioritizing an excellent education for the future of all Temecula Valley Unified School District. So we're going to get into a little bit about why Jen is on the show today and what's going on in this battleground that has caught not only national attention, but specifically the attention of the gruesome Newsom guy running the state of California, and why this is very, very, very important. And listen, if you are somewhere in that range, married with children in elementary school to high school, now is the time to stand up and pay attention to what's going on. So Brandon, you're back with us as well. Brandon and I will kind of ping back and forth and get into conversation with Jen here. But anyways, Jen, welcome to Defining Truth. How are you?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on. I'm great. A little hot, but doing well.
Well, I'm really glad that you were able to get on today. And we're just, our goal here is just to kind of have a conversation. And if a lot of people may not be able to hear inside or have a one-on-one with you, so we just want to provide them that, have a chat, and let people hear what's really going on. So I have a couple talking points, but beforehand, I want to open it up real quick. If there's anything you want to say as an intro or anything on the top of your head with the campaign, because I know you're right in the middle of this race right now, feel free to do that while I bring up the questions here.
Well, let me just thank you, first of all, for having me on. It is a busy time of year, and it has been an honor to serve as a trustee for Area 3 in Temecula. As you mentioned, my kids did go to our Temecula schools, and stepping up 2 years ago was a big undertaking. I never imagined quite what it would look like, but here today I can tell you I love serving the people, the families, our children, and this is a busy time. There are actually four seats that will be up for the school board. Mine is the only one staying strong and not moving. So people really need to pay attention to the candidates running and cast their votes accordingly.
Wow. I can't even press how important this is. And if you guys are listening, this is, you know, there's a lot of political battles you could get into. We could talk about the economy and geopolitics, but I can't think of anything more important than protecting our children And that's really what this fight is about. It's about decency. It's about common sense. So, Jen, if you could, just to catch people up to speed, can you give us a quick recap of how you came to be on a school board? Why? And then give me just bullet points on what you encountered in this battle as soon as you got there.
Well, as you can imagine, it has been a busy 2 years, and being on a school board is the front line for protecting children, for advocating for families, for creating good policy. And I stepped up 2 years ago because I saw a real need. I knew with my kids going through this, the school system, what we enjoyed and what I thought could be better. I think there always needs to be transparency. There needs to be oversight. And so many times throughout the state of California, there are boards that just rubber stamp policy and what the administration might like to see carried through. And I really wanted to be the one asking those hard questions. Yeah. And we know in the state of California, we're facing a difficult set of political issues that come out of Sacramento, and they're not always interested in local governing and what the people have to say.
Right.
And so in the last 2 years, we've kind of worked through that. We've passed some really good policy. I am the last conservative standing at this point. There are three of us on the board, and my two colleagues have opposed everything that I personally voted for. We voted to prohibit critical race theory. We voted to prohibit any pervasive vulgarity or obscenity in supplemental materials. And this came about as a result of Angels in America being introduced in a drama classroom. And it was totally inappropriate with over 100 F words and things that just, it was unbelievable. Mm. And there were families that were exposed to that, and it was a huge problem. And as a result, we went ahead and created some good policy. We also decided to make the American flag and the California state flag the only ones that would be highlighted on our campuses, just to keep things neutral and to avoid divisive, controversial situations. Parental rights, that particular notification was also something that we passed. There were only a handful of districts around the state who were able to do that. Mm. And along the way, we've battled because there is a narrative with the union and with activist groups that are very much opposed to what we pursued. And so the stories I could tell you behind the scenes are pretty dramatic. I've had people say, did you ever imagine being on a school board would be a blood sport of sorts?
Yeah.
And no, I didn't. You know, I didn't. I have just been a mom who has been in this community for almost 20 years, and I wanted to represent accordingly. I still love what I do, despite what's been thrown at us. And I will continue to fight for truth to be heard in a transparent way. And this is about saving our schools. The way we save our schools is to vote conservative candidates in as your trustees who will continue to uphold the policy. Because yeah. believe me, there is a goal right now with people opposed to our thought who want to take back the board and flip over everything that we did. And so we're at a crossroads. We need to vote for candidates who are going to uphold policy and then pivot and also talk about the academics and the education that right. we so desperately want to see our kids improve in.
Yeah, and I want to touch on that real quick, because the truth is that a lot of people follow, you know, what's going on in the culture war in politics. You know, they're on Instagram, they're on Facebook. And I think people need to realize that there are multiple fronts in the fight for America's soul right now. The big topics, you know, we talk about pro-life issues and abortion. We talk about the border and the economy and all of these things going on at the cultural level. But one of the biggest battles in the country right now is for our children. And that is playing out in schools, on campuses across the country. Now, to give a little context and background, progressive Marxism in general, from its inception, has always seen the value in controlling the education field. We know that from their own writings, and we know that from history throughout the 20th century, that there is a very, very high advantage in taking control of academic institutions, because you're controlling the narrative and the ideology of the next generation. So what we had in America were schools that were founded on the purpose of instilling biblical values in our children, and then That was the worldview or the lens through which they would view and learn everything else. I mean, that is the inception of the academic system in the United States. And so what we've had now is those on the far left and human secularist who want to redefine what America is. And they've been working, and let's be honest, they've been working many, many years in schools. We are behind the curve in this, but I want people to understand that this is one of the premier battles in the culture wars in places of education in schools. So what you're doing there is extremely important. We're not, you know, they often try to portray you as trying to push the pendulum, you know, to the far right or whatever. All we're trying to do is preserve American values. This is about defending Western civilization. Our kids should go to school to learn things like math and science and all things that are valuable to our lives and for them to contribute to society. And what they've become, and as we'll get into, what you're fighting against is really these schools have become indoctrination zones where the focus is not on academics, as we see in California, who is doing terribly up and down the state as far as ranking. The focus is on building social justice warriors and ideologues. We're changing the children's mindset or worldview on issues, very important things like race and culture and sexuality, as we'll go into. I think most importantly, one of the things that Marxism has always done throughout history and they're doing now is try to wedge a divide between children and their parents. We saw this in the Soviet Union. We see this in North Korea playing out even today. We saw this in the Cameroon, Cambodia, and we saw it in Mao's China in the early days. They knew that they had to get rid of all things old. Alexander Kollontai, who was the first People's Commissar for Welfare for the Soviet Union, wrote extensively about the need to do away with the old way of thinking about a family. And they would do so by taking control of the children and re-educating or indoctrinating them. So there's a lot of mudslinging because when you and I've been at a board meeting and I've seen you, you know, there in person, we see all the vitriol and the hatred, and it's not really about the children. It's about you are now standing in the way of what progressive Marxism is trying to accomplish, and they hate you for it. Now, as a believer and as a Christian, we know we expect that. We know the world will not love us. They didn't love Jesus. They're not going to love us. But faith aside, even as an American citizen, there's vitriol and hatred towards you because we're defending Western civilization and American values. So kind of along that line, you mentioned a couple things, your fight for CRT, which Brandon and I were at, you know, a couple of those meetings that got really intense. You mentioned the flags and most recently the issue about informing parents about what's going on with their kids. Can you touch on that particular topic? Cause that's kind of a hot topic right now. What is really the core of this fight about children and, you know, how they're identifying versus what parents know? Can you kind of clarify that for us?
I think you're exactly right that there is a greater plan to drive that wedge between families and students. There are a lot of amazing teachers at TVUSD. So I always want to recognize that because so many of them want to come to work and just do their job. They want their kids to grow and to learn academically and be able to encourage them. There are those groups, though, that are very loud and abrasive and definitely have an agenda. And it does spring from the union narrative, both on a local level and with the California Teachers Association. Yeah. So that is the machine that we're up against. And in 2022, when we ran and won the majority, we took them by surprise. And so that has changed. You know, they've weaponized lawfare and they've driven a narrative out into the press that's not true. And we see that happening on a local, state, and national level. And this issue with parental rights did become prevalent because there is controversial thought in how we should deal with students who want to change their name, their pronoun, their bathroom, their locker room. My premise has always been there should be no secrets between parents.
Seems
and
like
the
common
school.
Sense. Right?
Ever, the common sense. And you would think that people would readily agree. And actually they do. Over 70% in California, when polled in a nonpartisan way, say, we should know. We should be able to understand because we love our kids the most. And precedent has been set on a federal level that parents have the right to the upbringing. And so it's nuts that we're at this point where we have to debate it. But What you have is the California Department of Ed coming down on districts like ours who passed a policy and intimidating superintendents as a result of a uniform complaint that was filed. And it's curious how these are filed in very strategic places. But when that happens, the CDE looks at it. Then they communicate with the district, which they did at TVUSD. Basically, they told our superintendent, you need to send out a corrective notice saying, we, the CDE, has found it discriminatory. So this policy cannot be upheld when it comes to those particular points that the board passed. And so, under that duress, that was sent out. And I had a lot of conflicting thought with that because, truth be known, the CDE and the superintendent can't strip policy. You
No,
can't do that.
right.
That's not lawful. You have to bring it before a board with board comments in a public forum where you can talk about it. And so what you saw is the administrative state effectively trying to cancel what local elected officials did, even though we had a judge just recently say, I have found this policy not to be discriminatory. And on its face, I respect parents and their ability to provide guidance. So this was a conundrum of a situation where communication went out to every stakeholder that I disagreed with. So my battle almost 2 weeks ago at the school board meeting was to bring forth a letter based on the law, based on what happened with that policy and why I have dissenting opinion, and that parents need to know they still have the right to ask the questions. Staff and teachers still need to know you have the right, as mandated reporters, to say something. If you see something, you can say something. That's
Right.
already an oath that they take, right? So,
So clarify now for those listening who may not know, because and I see you're getting to it right now. This particular incident that happened with you. So you had you everything you're saying right now, you brought it in a letter to the last school board meeting. I don't think you've had one since, right?
that's correct.
Okay.
So on August 27th, I brought it to a board meeting to ask about getting board authority to send this out to all stakeholders. As a elected official, I should have the ability to communicate with people. The superintendent wasn't comfortable with that, so I brought it to the board so we could have an honest discussion. I could read through the letter and we could figure out what messaging could go out. And as some may know and many don't know, I was canceled and censored on the spot in the meeting. My colleagues shut it down by weaponizing a faulty use of Robert's Rules of Order. So they shut me down with a call to question, kind of ended debate, though we didn't have any debate. And then everybody left. They left the dais, people left the room, and I was left as the lights dimmed and the mic turned off, in addition to the feed, to continue reading my letter to the people in the room who wanted to hear it. It was egregious, and it was censorship, pure and
Yeah,
simple.
and that's not the way that democracy works, because what we've seen more and more, we see this at a local level, as you described, and we see it at the national level. They don't want any type of constitutional republic or democracy. They want total power. That is what the left is about right now. And you see that because if you're unwilling to have a civil discussion or to present facts, which many people they just call you names now. If you talk about critical thinking, then you must be a racist. If you bring facts
And they
up,
cancel you.
and they cancel you. So at your level, they did exactly what they've done at the national and the state level as well. So again, to clarify for those listening, when Jen brought her letter to explain her position, they literally just cut her microphone off. They did not allow people to hear the truth, and that's what I really want to cue in on, because we've seen this across our culture in a variety of ways. You see this from big tech groups like Meta, who are not allowing the free flow of communication, and so they just censor you. There's lots of words for it: shadow ban, policy violation. But the bottom line is, we've reached an ideological impasse where the left will not allow the truth to be spoken. And I specifically say the truth. It's not like two equal sides of a debate. We
Well, and here's
recently,
the thing too.
yeah,
Here's the
go
thing that
ahead.
I really want to point out that you'll agree with is it's not just about me. It's about disenfranchising all the voters
Absolutely. Well,
who
because you
put me in
represent
this
people.
elected seat. They're squelching the voice of the people. They do it on a state level and now locally. It's not appropriate. It's over the
No.
pale, and that's what people would should be offended about, is they were cut off from getting truthful, transparent information.
Well, and that's why I think this is a good point to insert a call to action, is that you are there because people in Temecula, Marietta area voted for you in the Temecula Valley. And so they're not just cutting off Jen Wiersma, they're cutting off the voice of the people. And America should not stand for that. So if you're listening to this, or if this ends up on, I don't know, you may be watching it on YouTube or Instagram or Facebook or wherever, you need to share this story with as many people as you can, because local school board elections really, really matter. They're extremely important. And if these big groups like the NEA, the teachers union, and folks up in Sacramento can come down and just utterly obliterate your right of representation, you need to send a clear message that that is intolerable. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. That should not be acceptable to you. So get out and vote in this coming election. Vote for people who are going to uphold conservative and American values that protect our children and are based on common sense, not wild, extremist Marxist ideology. This is very, very, very important, because if we lose the schools, let's just remind people here, your children, once they enter school, will spend more time in places of education than they will at home. The majority of your social influence for kids when they start school till they graduate is at school. So it isn't just like a, you know, well, you know, I go to church on Sunday, or I eat apple pie and play baseball, so my kids will be fine. No, you're literally sending your children to an institution that is actively involved in reshaping their worldview. So the folks that are on these school boards that help guide those decisions are very, very important. So you need to get out and vote. Vote for Jen Wiersma. Vote for John Cobb. Vote for Joseph Komronsky. And who else, Jen, if I failed to mention somebody?
Dr. Melinda Anderson.
Melinda Anderson.
Is also running. Emil Barham. We have four incredible candidates. And, you know, Dr. Komronsky was recalled by only 212 votes.
Right.
Which was within a margin of error. So people need to come out, pay attention, and vote for the right candidates. My campaign slogan from the beginning was "Saving America starts with school board." And of course, we know the gospel and the Lord having precedent is most important. But then really the schools, that's where our next generation
Absolutely.
Is. And that's why this is the front line and so important that you pay attention and go to a school board meeting. Just your presence in the room can mean so much. If you're intimidated to speak at the mic, that's okay. Just go, be in the room, pray, be aware of what's going on, because the same people tend to come again and again on both sides, and that's polarizing at times.
Yeah.
Come in as just a citizen and take in what's happening, because once you're vested and have skin in the game, you're going to track the decisions that are made, and you're going to deflect the narrative that the union and the press are going to spin that is inaccurate. And then talk to your friends, talk to your family and your neighbors. That is going to make the difference. It's the grassroots movement that will get the right candidates in office once again this year.
Absolutely. I mean, even speaking of Dr. Komronsky, that's not really an accurate representation of the demographic in Temecula Valley. There's an overwhelming amount of conservatives here. I would say if you look at the amount of churches alone that are here, if Christians that are in church on Sunday would just show up and vote, we would overwhelmingly save our valley. We would protect our children. We would stay loyal to Western American values that are based on biblical concepts. And the bottom line is, we just don't sometimes, you know? You have a lot of blue-collar folks in the area, police, firemen, military. It's this small voice of wild activists. They hate America. They hate that we're based on Christian Judaic values, and they're doing everything they can to tear that down. Don't let them be the majority. You know, it is true the squeaky wheel gets the oil, and the left is really good at that. They show up, they protest, they mudsling, they call names, and they bring their big guns in, right? Like, you personally, you can mention, didn't Newsom give some personal attention to Temecula Valley back during the CRT fight?
He tweeted out to Dr. Komronsky, "I'm watching you," you know, when that had to do
what
with curriculum
creep.
And the fact of educationally suitable material and talking about a fourth grade classroom. You know, do we talk about homosexuality? Do we talk about... you know, a mayor who was an activist, like what do we discuss? And we had a clear conversation on the dais that did catch the attention of Newsom, who stepped out of his jurisdiction and really threatened us with a fine and other things that was not his to to chat about, shall we say. So there was an overstep and an overreach, but that is what we see from Sacramento is a constant intimidation. And so parents here do need to push back. And we live in an incredible community, as you mentioned. We have an amazing sheriff, a DA, many conservative people who are in office and are in church. And if we could just coalesce and realize we can continue to make impact, we're going to hold the line and we're going to make all the difference. It's ground zero in California in some ways, right here in Riverside County. So that inspires me to continue moving forward. No matter what they throw at me, no matter what labels or lies or what they continue to wield, I know my God is greater. I know I'm not perfect, but I'm going to continue to talk truth, love the families that are here, and do the best that I can. Things like community schools are on the horizon, and that is where they bring more medical care onto campuses with clinics and services that parents may not be aware of. And so it starts now by holding the line with policy and understanding if you put in candidates who will rubber stamp what the state wants, what the some leaders in the district office might want, we're going to be in trouble. We don't want to look like LA Unified in the next 2, 3, 4 years. And we can do it by getting the right people in office who will uphold truth and the law and those things that we value as a community.
And I think it's worth mentioning that your willingness to stay there and battle it out is sort of the last bastion. It's the last line. With the state being involved and Newsom personally chiming in once in a while, you do have kickback when people don't show up and vote. You know, like recently AB 1955, right? Which is their sort of retort to this rise in local school boards, which really means rise in local families. That's really what it is. It's people getting tired of the progressive Marxism and the indoctrination in schools. It's parents who just want their kids to get a good education. I don't want my first grader going and learning all about, you know, the transgender sex ranch that's out here in Temecula, right? I say that it's kind of coy, but we were at a board meeting when one of the reps from that like adult trans sex ranch in the area showed up at a school board meeting. And I'm
We've
going,
seen it all.
why are you here? What place do you have? This is a free country, don't get me wrong. You are free to be as sexually deviant as you so please. It's a free country. But you have no right to assert dominance over people's children or to somehow bring that freedom that you have, that liberty in sexual deviance, into a place of education. That's not a right.
That's right.
And so we have every right to stand up against it. Now, I mentioned 1955, which is the state now trying to get around what the will of the people. Right. And that's yet another sign of what the left is doing. They don't respect a local elections. They don't respect the people. They respect only their ideology. To be clear, the religion of the left is government is God. That is 100% true. It always has been. And so anytime you mention, you know, the fact that you're a Christian or, you know, you've read a Bible verse before, it just makes their blood boil because it's essentially blasphemy against their God, the state. And don't take my word for it. That is evidenced by all of the last 100 years of human secular governments, whether it was the Nazis or the Soviets or the Maoist, et cetera. It goes on and on. Again, 1955 basically said, well, and I'm going to paraphrase, but the law essentially says, well, nobody working there has to tell the parents anything. That's essentially what 1955 did, right? So, you were all working, you and others like Sonia Shaw up in Chino and other schools up in Orange County were working to say, no, parents should be informed if their child shows up and says, I identify as a cat today. And previously, the school was protecting that and saying, and coddling and sort of nurturing that gender ideology and keeping the parents out of it, which is extremely dangerous. You have a very high percentage of suicides within this demographic. Why in the world would you not want parents to know? Can you imagine not knowing what's going on with your kids at school? Deep, deep issues like a 12-year-old who wants to remove her breast or a 12-year-old boy who wants to remove his genitals. These are very serious things. It is infuriating that the state thinks that they have more rights over our children than the parents do. That is a unilaterally across the aisle truth. I don't understand why that's even a divisive issue. And so now, because of work that you've done and others, we we are able to pass these parental rights notifications, which just says, look, we're going to inform parents if the kids are getting this indoctrination at school and all of a sudden wanting to come and, change their gender. That's it. It was that simple. And oh my gosh, you want to murder children. And it was the end of the world because you want to tell parents. And so, long story short, 1955 passes. And now the state says, you know what, to a teacher, right? You don't have to respect the will of the people locally. You don't have to listen to that parental rights policy. We'll protect you. You can hide what you're sexually doing to this 12 or 13 year old from the parents and we'll cover you. Don't worry. At its core, that has nothing to do with education. That is extremely evil. And so you are on a front line for a battle of both good and evil and education. And we just want to encourage you and to keep doing what you're doing, because there are a lot of people behind you. And I would say to people listening, share this with as many people as you can, like we said, and get out and support Jen, because you're not the one on the school board. You're not going to take the vitriol and the hateful comments and the angry threats and the emails threatening your life. And some of these folks who we've elected to go and speak for us are doing it for us. So the least you can do is support them by showing up at a school board meeting, by voting, by supporting their campaign financially, whatever it is, give them the tools that they need. Honestly, this is no different ideologically speaking than sending US soldiers off to battle terrorists in some foreign country and then just sort of forgetting about them, not sending them the ammo they need, the logistical support. They need your continual support. Anyways, I'm gonna get off my soapbox for a second. So Jen,
I love it. No, the battle is real. And just so people know, AB 1955 will not be enacted until January of 2025. And that's if there's not a stay or an injunction. There are legal battles going on all across the state. And as I mentioned, we had a judge in Riverside that said that policy is not discriminatory. He actually found it quite valid with his initial findings. And so you're right. The administrative state wants to cancel what the courts have said and what they're doing, because traditionally they've always been with parents. And we cannot assume that parents are abusers ever. I know there are certain situations where we must be careful and maybe students need extra care, and there are parameters in place to provide for that. But for this to be called an outing policy and to pit students against parents is 100% wrong, just as you mentioned. And it is a deeper tenet of Marxism. It's what we're fighting against in the battle for the heart and soul of our country. We're at the crossroads locally, on a statewide level, and nationally. And I have not left California because the battle is here and it will continue to go across the country at unprecedented levels unless we fight right now where we're at. And because I've loved this community for 20 years, I'm committed to it. Come what may, I am here in this seat to do as much as I can do to provide for families a great education for students and always come back to the truth. So put good school board candidates in who will do exactly that. They're not going to be your union endorsed candidates, and that's the truth of it.
Yeah, unfortunately, the union has completely lost its mind. We know, I think it was a couple of years ago now, Brandon, we were at an event where we were able to see a panel of, Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo was there, and a bunch of other folks who had served in, places. Well, Pompeo was at, director of the CIA and then later Secretary of State. And I remember they asked him, about the biggest threat to America. And his answer was unequivocal. He said it really wasn't the Chinese aggression or the IRGC in Iran. He said the biggest threat to America was the NEA and the teachers unions. They are eating us from the inside out. And I think that, unfortunately, for a lot of people, we just kind of stick our heads in the sand. We're trying to work and raise our kids and we're not paying attention, and or they get sick of watching the news. But local elections is where it's at. And it is your right. If you want to relinquish all of your rights and stick your head in the sand, then do not complain when the government big state takes control of your life. That is the direction they're going. Let's be honest. The left thinks that people are stupid. They don't trust them. They don't trust them to make wise decisions. They don't trust them with their own children. They think that they know better about everything. And I like that you said there are some great teachers, because there are. We want teachers to be able to focus on teaching, not gender propaganda or ideology. That's not why kids go to school. You know, there's a lot of things going on in schools. We see the moral decline as evidence in the violence and the bullying and the school shootings. This has nothing to do with things that have been around for 1,000 years, like a gun. There's been a decline in worldview and moral character in our students and our children. And then you wonder why. Well, we stopped teaching the Bible. We stopped teaching mathematics and science from a correct worldview. And we started pressing these progressive Marxist ideals that your parents are stupid, America is racist, you're evil. And then you wonder why kids are angry and fighting each other. It's just nothing but division, division, division. That's what CRT was all about, and every other issue that you've tackled. So thank you for being there. Let's have you speak a little bit quickly on what's going on right now, and like, when is the election, and what can people do if they're hearing this and they're thinking, yeah, this makes sense to me. How can we support you and others in your race?
Well, definitely follow me on Jen4TVUSD. That's my Instagram handle, and you'll see some of the information that I put out in terms of the school board and candidates that I'm supporting. I believe ballots drop the first week of October. So we're in that era where you get it a month before the election in November. So I am personally encouraging people to make sure you read through the voters' guides. Look at the social media of the candidates that are running, reach out to them and ask the questions. Real Impact is doing a survey for candidates in this county about their thoughts on the issues. And I would encourage you to look into that once it's publicized and available so that you can see if they've answered those questions. And if they haven't, you need to reach out to them and ask. The one thing that I think we did back in 2022 was really get in touch with as many voters as possible going door to door. And there are candidates doing that on all sides. So if somebody comes to your door, talk to them, ask them the questions, email them on social media, be aware. And then once you make your decision, make sure you share that with friends and family. We're all so busy right now trying to survive in the economy and taking care of our families. As you mentioned, it's important that we get good counsel on what's happening. It would be amazing for you to come to a school board meeting and take in things firsthand. Parents, please be vigilant. A new school year has started. You need to look at what homework assignments are, what supplemental material comes through, what videos they're watching. I had a mom of a middle school student just send a 2-minute video that had some pentagrams in it, some real weird imagery and stuff that disturbed her. Crazy. And I'm sure a lot of parents didn't see that. So you need to make sure, whether it's taking a survey, whether it's your child taking a survey, whether it's looking at those materials that are being assigned, comb through it and make your voice heard. There was another student at a high school who was asked to take a survey about all her political ideology and religious views on pretty heavy hitting topics. And I would say seniors, probably many of them are comfortable putting that in writing, but others aren't. And so you as a parent have the right to oversee all of this. And again, we've got great teachers. We've got others who are activists. In my opinion, there is clearly an effort to wield a message that is less than neutral. And this is not what our classrooms should be. And not all families can afford private education. Maybe they don't have the ability to get into a charter school. Maybe they can't homeschool. That's why I'm fighting for public schools. It should be equitable and neutral for all. And parents still have a voice. You need to push back and make sure you're heard on a school-wide level. Go talk to your teacher and your principal. I would encourage that first, because you can make a difference.
Yeah, I like that. I like everything you're saying. I think it's you can almost summarize it pretty simply in that school board elections have become a choice between should your kids go to school and focus on education, or should they be indoctrinated and focused on CRT and racism and sexuality and pornography in schools? And I mean, that's really what school has become. And the stats prove it. The stats are abysmal compared to schools that solely focus on education. You know, you look at places like Hillsdale Academy, which runs, you know, or classical schools all across the country, and other schools like them who are just still holding on to just teaching children, not indoctrinating them. And that is what public schools should be doing. They should be completely non-affiliated with radical far-left extremism. A couple resources. One, definitely follow Jen. Say it again, Jen, your Instagram. It's
Jen, the number 4, TVUSD.
Okay, Jen, the number 4, TVUSD on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Go and follow that. You can kind of stay tuned with how you should be, positioning your thoughts. Also, if you haven't already, there's an organization called Capital Resource Institute, a very good friend of ours, Karen England. She has gone around the state and all over the country exposing some of the stuff that you just mentioned, Jen, like pornography in schools. And I mean, like, not just images, but explicit sexualization of little children, of minors. This is stuff that the NEA and the teachers unions want to push. And people like Jen who are running are angering them because you're standing in the way of that. What's unbelievable, and I want people to think a little deeper, is since that is a reality, and if you don't believe me, go check out Karen England online, check out Capital Resource Institute and some of what she's exposing about this garbage that is in schools, in books and whatnot, and go look at it. And then once you see that it is in fact 100% true, ask yourself, why? Why would you push to show a first grader all about, I can't even say the things that they're teaching them. It's horrific. And the answer is there's an agenda there, right? There is a culture war, and the end goal for the left, it's the definition of politics. It's the struggle for power. They need to separate kids from their parents and all the notions of decency that sort of frame Western civilization. And if you want to change America fundamentally, you go after the kids. You go after sexualization. You have to get rid of God and all influence of those things that are good and moral in order to move into this depravity that is human secularism, which, by the way, let's just mention, the end goal of all of this stuff we're talking about and what Jen is fighting against, the end goal in the 20th century was just death, the literal death of millions of people under the Soviet regime, under Nazi Germany, the Socialist Party there. I mean, the list goes on and on. Every time a country trades the concept of a higher authority for worshiping the state, the end result is the destruction of their society. So there's, and I just went, you know, to the 50,000 foot level, but it traces all the way down to your local school board where they're trying to change the minds of your children. So check out Karen England and Capital Resource Institute. You mentioned Real Impact. We love Real Impact. The director, Gina Gleason, is close with us. We work with them all the time. They're doing phenomenal work. In fact, just last weekend, we were at a Comeback California event down in Imperial Valley which was an event by Real Impact. Phenomenal. They put out great resources, candidate questionnaires, surveys, voter guides, all kinds of stuff. So again, maybe you're not in the know as much as Jen is because she's knee deep in all of this, but there's a lot of resources. If you just take a little bit of your time to look into it for the future of your children, it's absolutely worth it. Jen, closing thoughts. I want to leave it to you to wrap it up. And if there's anything that you want to tell parents out here in Temecula Valley.
I think my closing thoughts are that I'm so grateful to be in this position and doing what I'm doing day after day. It is a sacrifice of time. My family's taken a lot of hits. Actually, I lost a job a year ago, and some of that had to do with the angst and what was going on. But I've seen God be faithful in so many ways to provide the support that we need. And I'm always praying for that discernment too, to know what to say and what not to say. And it's been a character building experience to advocate for families and to be called things and labeled in ways that I never would have imagined. And it is a spiritual battle. It is a battle for the soul of the country and our children. And I know I haven't done everything perfectly, but I have always returned to the thought of what can I best do to be sure every student at TVUSD gets an outstanding education, is not bullied, but is also protected. There's a two-prong approach, dealing with some of the social issues and then pursuing the academic end. So I just want to thank this community for supporting me. There are so many of you out there who who've told me, I'm watching, I know what's going on, I believe in you, keep pushing forward. And on days that are difficult, those are things that sustain me. I do want to remind you again, we've got four seats up for election in this particular area. John Cobb, Dr. Melinda Anderson, Emil Barham, Dr. Komrasky turning around after a recall and running again to say, I'm going to defeat the lies and the narrative. I am here to fight, even though I have gone through such an intense battle. I'm here. We saw a school board member driven out of the state, where his business was affected. It's just, this is the real battle. And because I've seen what I've seen at this point, it makes me all the more determined to continue forward. So just pray for us. Please vote. Don't negate the importance of voting. Tell the young people in their 20s to vote. Get registered to vote. Ask your friends and neighbors. Go to your church and say, hey, are we going to have a registration table? Are we going to harvest ballots? Are we going to speak to who candidates are that are running? That is the way that we get engaged and that we hold the line here in Riverside. And I believe it can be done. And I'm just going to continue doing the best I can for as long as I'm given, as
Awesome.
long as, yeah, I'll continue making the difference. And
I
I
love that.
appreciate you bringing to light all of these issues because we all have a lane to run in, and it's figuring out how to be effective and to influence people in the best ways possible.
I love that, and I'll just add, you mentioned churches, and obviously at Defining Truth, we're a para, church ministry here, and I want to end by saying this. Churches, you have to get involved if you love your neighbors. These are not political issues. They're God's issues. This is about standing up for righteousness, for all that is good and decent and moral. And let me tell you something. We do not live in a dictatorship. We don't have a king. So the governing authorities in America are the people. That's how a constitutional republic works. God gave you the ability to choose who goes forth and makes the laws and makes the policies and leads your school boards, et cetera, et cetera. So you will have absolutely no excuse when you dismiss the most important things in your society as politics, when in fact God has given you the opportunity to be involved and to speak righteousness and to stand up for those who can't stand for themselves. Far be it from you or I if one day God looks at us and says, when everything was going bad, what were you doing? I'll give you an example. There's a little parable about a servant and some talents. And I'm not going to tell the whole story, but as you know, one of them took the talent the master gave him. He only gave him one, and he buried it in the ground because he was afraid to do anything. That's called cowardice. Now, the other servant who received five talents, he went forth and he risked it. And sometimes it is a risk to get involved in civics. It costs you something, but that's what we're called to do. And he invested it and he multiplied it. And the master came back and said, well done, good and faithful servant. But to the one who just one talent had given, he buried it and he dug it up out of the ground and he showed it. And he was appalled. And he said, you've taken what I've given you and you've done nothing with it. You've buried it in the ground. And that servant was cast out into bitterness and darkness. There is a time coming for America. We have been given a great talent and a great blessing. Our freedoms and liberty should not be taken for granted. The election process and your right to be involved is a huge part of the power pillars in this country. We all understand that there are branches of government. We understand the executive, the legislative, et cetera. But there is a lesser known but equally as powerful, and that is the power of elections, where you get to choose who goes forth and changes the direction of your nation. So why in the world would churches not be intricately involved in loving their neighbor and invested in impacting the society around them for the kingdom of God? Far too often, and unfortunately, I think that we're affected by the world rather than affecting the world. So we see this sort of progressive narrative creeping into churches and theology and, well, we don't want to offend and this and that. And there will be a reckoning because we know it doesn't go well for those who lead these little ones astray. In fact, it
And
says,
Temecula needs to say no to censorship. I
absolutely.
want parents to think about this. If I have colleagues who are willing to suppress truth, not engage in discussion or dissenting opinion, what will they do when you, as a parent, have a disagreement or a thought that needs to be heard? This is important to consider. If you have a board that's vested in conservative first principles of thought, they will hear you out. But if my two colleagues who are up for re-election would have their way, if you have dissenting opinion, do you think they're going to listen to you?
Absolutely not.
They're not. That was so revealing. What happened was egregious, and we'll deal with it tomorrow. I've got another school board meeting, but that is what people need to ask, is not what's happening to Jen, but what's happening to my voice, and what's at stake if I don't put the right candidates on the school board for Temecula Valley Unified.
Unbelievable. Well, Jen, thank you very much for coming on. I just want to end by saying that you are of God, and he has overcome the world, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that's one thing that we really don't have to worry about. You know, there's a great chapter where Jesus talks about not worrying about stuff. It's fantastic, because we're in the Lord's hands. And so while that doesn't excuse our inaction, we can rest assured that his will be done. So thanks for coming on. Stick around for just a second. I'm going to wrap up the section, and then we'll get back to you, Jen. For you guys listening, thanks for tuning in to Defining Truth this week, and listening to our discussion here with Jen Wiersma. Remember to get out and vote. And if you haven't already, follow us on YouTube at Defining Truth on YouTube. We're also on Instagram and anywhere you listen to podcasts. We're on Apple, Google, et cetera. Check out our book, self-titled Defining Truth. You can find it at definingtruth.org. It's 10 chapters and designed to equip you to wage war in the culture war. We go through 10 topics, one for each chapter, of hot issues in the culture war, like what is love and life and leadership and life, pro-life issues. We even get into self-defense. And we present to you a biblical worldview, an American worldview, and what happens when we depart from that. It's a short book. It's really cool. Check it out. Defining Truth, Articulating America's Worldview. Also, we are on Real Life Network, RLN. They have an app, tons of free content, movies, documentaries, and of course, the best show on there, Defining Truth. You can listen to us, Real Life Network. You can find them online or download the app, RLN. Absolutely awesome. Brandon, you were great today. Thank you for running the board. Jen, we'll see you in a second. Till next time, guys.
Thanks for having me.